Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, March 15th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Our show tonight is sure to touch your heart, as Lavendar's next chapter from her journal gives an inside, behind-the-scenes look at one of the world's most loved TV cowboys, the late Dennis Weaver. However, the roles he played as the hero pale in comparison to his real life's work. He was a devoted, tireless champion of the environment to his very last days. Lavendar worked with him for several years, served on the advisory board of his Institute of Ecolonomics, and during their adventures, they had regular occurrences of what she calls high strangeness. And tonight she reveals a side of Dennis that's sure to uplift you. In the second half of the show, we'll have a Belvelation from our dear Doc Belva. And her topic this week is how to minimize possible problems from radiation. Belva will also be available for questions. I've had many requests to play more of my music, and tonight you'll hear the story and song I wrote about it called Mother Nature's Crying. We'll be taking some questions and comments from listeners after Lavendar's story, and the call-in number is 917-889-8292. That's 917-889-8292. Then press 1 if you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief and remember that others are also waiting with comments. Before we get started, I'd like to ask each and every one of you for your help. We get a lot of wonderful emails from our listeners and members of our community wanting to know what they can do to help us. As you know, our motto is empowering Starseed to better serve the planet, and one of the best ways we can do that is to increase our visibility. Each week we have well over 1,000 people listening to our show, but so far only 205 have registered at Blog Talk Radio and clicked the word follow on our show page. If we could really increase our number of official followers, we'll have a better chance of increasing our visibility and being a featured show here. So please, register for free and click the word follow on our show page. You'll be helping not only Starseed Radio Academy, but other Starseeds who haven't yet found their way here. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's starseedhotline.ning.com. I'll introduce Lavendar in just a moment, but I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. We also want you to know that we have so many requests for our Starseed confirmation service, which we call a Stage 1 reading, that there could be up to a two-week wait. With a Stage 1 reading, you'll get your natal and progress charts and an MP3 of your reading, pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority, and they include the Starseed confirmation. Both Lavendar and I are available for Starseed confirmation and personal consultation. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will be by ordering your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss out. And now I'd like to introduce my co-host, Lavendar.
Well, hello, Arielle, and I'm very excited to share from my journal, my time with Dennis Weaver. I wasn't able to, you know, talk about all of it, but I just wanted to talk about what happened after he crossed over and some of the experiences that I had. So, and then I have some things to say after you play my recording. So you can go ahead and play it now.
Okay. Here we go.
Today is March 13th, 2011. However, I have pulled something from the vault that is dated July 17th, 2006. And it's called High Strangeness, Dennis Weaver. Through my 30 years of metaphysical and spiritual adventures that I have journaled, some of these experiences are under two titles. One's called Crack Between the Worlds, and the other's called High Strangeness. And both refer to communications from sky to earth as spiritual, galactic, celestial, angelic, or cosmic in deliverance. This part of my journal is called High Strangeness. I'm referring to the weaving pattern that was presented to me perhaps as messages from my dear friend and mentor, Dennis Weaver, actor, environmentalist. Dennis passed on to other celestial realms in February of 2006 at the age of 81. Around the first week of June, close to Dennis' birthday on June 4, 2006, I experienced upon awakening a vision of Dennis. I was lying in bed and Dennis came to me and put a crystal helmet on my head. I reached up and put my hands on it and a thousand little lights went off and swirled in and out of my brain. I opened my eyes and there was Dennis standing by my bed. As I shifted my body to sit up, then poof, he was gone. I did not question the validity of this encounter. I only questioned the relevance and the timing. I got up to make coffee. While I was waiting for the coffee, I went to the mailbox and there was a letter addressed to me that looked like Dennis's handwriting. I opened the letter and there were two pictures with no note. And one of the pictures was of Dennis Weaver and myself, and the other was Dennis Weaver and Sam Meacham, who was the government technology contact bridging alliances with the White House. They both now had left the Earth plane. I took a moment to reflect on my alliances with both men and wondered if perhaps they were getting together in the other where. I thought it was odd that this letter with photos had appeared on the same day right after this vision or the encounter. As the day progressed, I received two phone calls from my business associates talking to me about a man named Jim Weaver from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and another man named Chris Weaver. By now, I've encountered four distinct Weaver connections, and I know to pay close attention. It is obvious that a pattern is forming into tapestry of some sort, and a signal is evident about this name. It was a busy day, so I didn't take the time to get quiet about all this, and as a result, the next encounter came with an otherwhere punch. Big punch. Later that night, I had just finished watching a movie about magic on the Disney Channel, and when I turned around, I saw a video fly off the shelf and hit Richard in the head. When I picked it up, the title read, Dennis Weaver, Earthship. This jolted me into a knowing that this was perhaps high strangeness manifesting in a pattern of messages concerning Dennis, and being presented in front of me in this fashion from other realms. Oh boy, was I awake now or what, as this got my attention. The next day, I called Peter Levant, board chair of Economic Entrepreneur from the Institute of Economics. He had spent the last weeks with Dennis before he crossed over, and I shared with him these Weaver messages. He revealed to me that Dennis had promised that he would extend his energies from the other side to assist with these economic pursuits, whether they are through entertainment, education, environmental, or spiritual projects. All projects that were dear to his heart, which include his wife Jerry, his family, the Institute of Economics, and especially alternative energy technologies, which he championed to the very end. After my discussion with Peter, I realized that it could be indeed true that Dennis was sending messages from cosmic realms with celestial timing from the otherwhere. From 1996 through 1999, I was a practicing economic strategist, a term that I coined while assisting Dennis in the Institute of Economics through education, political, and celebrity circles. Economic strategists are dedicated to planetary stewardship through economic modeling. We travel to over 10 universities and colleges to solicit their participation in teaching students how to make money with environmental products. Setting up a curricula that would support environmental principles along with keeping in mind the consumer and making it all work. This was very successful, as this curricula is practiced now in several universities and colleges, and the seeds have been planted as others are showing up to water what was seeded by Dennis and all of us associated with the Institute of Economics. One of the proudest moments of my professional career was on May 13, 1997, when Dennis presented me with a plaque that read, "The Institute of Economics presents to, my name, appointment of White House Liaison for Economics." We were in Georgia at the time, and I had introduced Arielle to Dennis, and when he heard her sing Mother Nature's Crying, then he asked her to open his lectures with this song, which also brought tremendous applause each time she sang it. And the first time I ever saw her was when she was singing this song in Jupiter, Florida, and that's another story all of its own. After he honored me with Liaison to the White House, we had a quiet dinner, and I reached over and touched his hand and looked deep into his eyes and said, "Dennis, I'm getting too old and you're just getting too tired to keep jumping on airplanes and doing this. Why don't we just go to Congress and have a bill written that would take all of our legwork and evolve it into funds for colleges and universities everywhere?" He agreed that we should do that, and so the first idea of the economic bill was born. After that, I started dialogue with a congressman to write and co-author with Dennis a congressional bill called the Economic Bill, which would allocate funds from the federal level that would support this curricula through all levels of education, starting at the kindergarten level for inspiring the young to think green. But in 1998, I received a devastating phone call that resulted in me having to return home to Oklahoma to take care of my parents, and I only spent part-time traveling with Dennis after that. You see, I was an only child. Well, a daughter has to do what a daughter has to do. By year 2000, George Bush was president, and the economic bill would have no life there, so we put it on the shelf, where it still resides to this day. Maybe someone hearing this will want to continue this work called the Economics Bill. Just as a side note to this story, one night our whole economic team was arriving late to our hotel, and as we approached the counter to register, Dennis said, "My name's Dennis Weaver, and I have a reservation." And the clerk said, "No, you're not him, because you were not limping when you came walking through the door." We were so tired, so it just wasn't funny at the time, but the next morning at breakfast we had a good laugh, and he told that story to audiences many times after that. For those of you who are not old enough to remember, he played the part of Chester in Gunsmoke, who limped as he walked. Many times after that, it just became a favorite story. When he came to Georgia, I'd run a black limousine, and we would have meetings with the governor, mayor of Atlanta, and Ted Turner all on the same day. Another amazing story was when we were in Ted's office at CNN headquarters, and Dennis was showing him a product that was made out of wheat and plastic that could take the place of wood. He picked it up, eyed it, then immediately jumped to his feet and went over to the wall and picked up the black baseball bat that had all of the Atlanta Braves' names signed in gold on it. He brought it back, then squared off as in taking a swing, and with one swift blow, my purple hat was off and on the floor. He hadn't noticed how close he and I were to his swing. Afterwards, in the elevator, Dennis said, "If he'd hit you, I bet we've gotten a huge donation for our institute." We all laughed, but I twinged in a comical way. After that, our limousine drove us to the Tate House, which is a pink marble bed and breakfast resort, which is now closed, I understand. Talk about ghosts haunting a place. I have so many ghost stories to share about that place, the Tate House. And Dennis experiences he had at least two separate encounters with ghosts or beings from another dimension while he was there. You know, there's some statements that have lived on with me since he's been gone, and one of them was, obviously the power is not in the thing, or we wouldn't have so many garage sales. Always love that. Or here's one. When we find it within first, that we have the best chance to find it without. We had traveled a lot of miles together, which included our spiritual journey as well. I now could reflect on conversations that we had concerning communications from the other side. So all of this was making perfect sense to me. Dennis was an old soul who believed in communication through time and space and verbally had been open about this for years. I felt honored that Dennis had found a way of communicating with me, as he knew my soul and talents, but most of all, he knew my mission and motto, leave the planet better than you found it. I suppose from where he was now, he knew that he could nudge me a little. He was like that, a nudger, in a kind and generous way. Now that I was more open to receiving more messages, they started showing up in other conversations, and it became apparent to me that others were being woven into what now I call the Weaver Tapestry. I received a phone call from an entertainment mogul from New York who shared his experience with me about working on a crossword puzzle recently that asked the question of a Gunsmoke sidekick, and the answer was Weaver. Then I received another phone call from Sam Meacham's wife, Susie, who said that the new people that moved in next door that week were named Weaver. Peter Levant had mentioned that another Chris Weaver, a cousin of Dennis's, had shown up to offer website work for the Institute. So now there were three more Weaver messages to add to the Weaver Tapestry. A story of high strangeness was definitely in the making. Yesterday, July 7, 2006, Jerry Weaver called me and thanked me for the gift that I had given her at the memorial service, a purple bag of organic chocolates. One of my best friends and another mentor, Belva Bloomer, founder of the Why of Life Foundation, WOLF, and I had traveled to Malibu to attend the memorial service at the Self-Realization Fellowship Center in March that was held for Dennis. When we arrived, the whole room was filled with celebrities and friends, and curiously enough, it seemed everyone was wearing some shade of purple. Of course, I just loved that. As I listened to Jerry, I realized that this was her time to grieve and explore her own spiritual teachings that she shared with Dennis all those years. She told me that she was in the process of selling the Earthship home that they had built in Ridgeway, Colorado, 15 years ago. I flashed in the video flying across the room as she was speaking. I told her that I hoped that a steward would come to occupy it and that it would have alignment with sacredness of the land along with the intentions left by the Weaver family. I have had many memories of the Earthship, its technology, a meeting place for so many visionaries that now are placing their handiwork all around the planet. I think now of all the brilliant minds that were exposed to the Weaver's Earthship and the influence that helps to mold their soul dedication to assist with environmental pursuits. People from every walk of life pass through not only their home, but through their lives as well. The Weaver Earthship was designed to enhance the evolution of the planet through this sacred structure built on Native American ceremonial ground. It was designed and built by architect Michael Reynolds using many environmental materials such as rubber tires and tin cans. You just have to see it to believe it. After I shared this information with Jerry, I realized the perception that she was part of the message from Dennis and that the video that flew across the room, you know, could be a message about the Earthship technology and its next stage of evolution. If this was part of a message from Dennis, then perhaps someone that's reading this will call or email or express an interest in maybe being the next steward of the Earth Weaver Earthship. But you know, this was written in 2006, and I really don't know now if this has been sold or not. So that's kind of an old statement. Dennis often held the eagle totem as a focus of intention, and I know that eagle flies through many realms with these occurrences of high strangeness. I suspect that his eagle spirit is beaming visionary messages, and interpretations will only be relevant to those with a connection to Netus, whether it be finished or unfinished work on planet Earth. I've been humbled by these occurrences and am honored as a scribe to journal these messages of high strangeness that comes from a place in the otherwhere that I call Crack Between the Worlds. Before Dennis left the planet, he helped write a book about his life, and it was called All the World's a Stage. And I'm going to read his biography from in the front cover. All the World's a Stage, through millions, recognized Dennis Weaver for his roles in the long-running television series Gunsmoke and McCloud, and more recently as the host of the Western Channel. The most important work of his life has not been performed in front of a camera. Since the early 1980s, he has dedicated himself to serving humanity and the environment. And now, Weaver shares the story of his life, his childhood and military years, his career as an entertainer, which includes a fascinating behind-the-scenes look at Hollywood, and his more recent success as a spokesperson and role model for social and environmental concerns. His ultimate goal, to remind us that only through collective spiritual growth and understanding the interrelationship of all living systems will humanity consciously step forward to preserve our world for future generations. Dennis Weaver won an Emmy Award for his role in the television's longest-running series, Gunsmoke. Over the past 5 decades, he has appeared in stage, television, and motion picture productions as actor, comedian, singer, songwriter. Weaver co-founded Love is Feeding Everyone, LIFE, and founded and co-founded the Institute of Economics to find solutions for sustainable ecology and economy. He is a sought-after speaker on social and environmental issues, and Weaver lives in a self-designed Earthship. A film of this environmental-friendly home has been featured on PBS nationwide and at international and U.S. environmental film festivals. This book, I'm sure, can be ordered from, it looks like Hampton Roads Publishing, and you can probably type in All the World's a Stage by Dennis Weaver, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find the book. It's a very, very heartwarming book. It has a lot of depth to it. In fact, I would like to read something from the book, a chapter, some excerpts from a chapter called The Tender Trap. It starts out with a quote from John Galt from Atlas Shrugged. I swear by my life and my love of it that I will never live for the sake of another man, nor ask another man to live for mine. What a wonderful place to journey, I said, thinking to myself that now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Dennis sat looking at me for a moment. He drew a deep, cleansing breath. You know, one of my first experiences, conscious experiences with spirit, happened back when I was doing Gunsmoke. I've always been fascinated with horses. The Kentucky Derby was always a special event for me when I was young, so when Gunsmoke came along in 1955 and a few loose coins were burning a hole in my pocket, the attraction of Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, and Del Mar racetracks was just too much for this country boy to resist. Then there was Tiny Nichols, our card buddy, Jim Standen, who was the real racetrack feature. During racing season, he would always come to work with a racing form under his arm. He taught me how to read it and how to select the horses by using his handicap system. Of course, it rarely worked, but picking the winners was a challenge that titillated even me, and it wasn't long before I was bugging the first assistant to shoot my scenes early so I could at least get out to the track by the fifth race. I never became a heavy bettor. Maybe a $6 combination or win plus a couple of place tickets, just enough to prove what horse I had picked. and I must admit it was a thrill when I got a winner. However, even though I had fun and the excitement was often intense, I frequently developed a headache before the day was over. It clearly wasn't over the stress of losing money. I didn't bet that much. I really believe it was the environment that produced it, an environment filled with the vibration of greed and frantic restlessness. Then one day, as I was driving away from the track with a nagging headache, I had an experience that affected me profoundly. At that time, I'd been practicing meditation for only a short while, and I was still much more interested in the outside world than what resided inside of me. I was inching my way down the boulevard in the usual crush of angry cars jockeying for position, anxious to free themselves from the gridlock, when suddenly it happened. My forehead became alive with an unexpected feeling that I can only describe as a holy vibration. It was so comforting, loving, and peaceful that I later came to refer to it as the pull of God's sweet love. When that presence came over me, I was at once surprised and comforted. I wanted nothing to interrupt it, and I immediately exited the stream of cars and pulled over to a grassy shoulder and became deeply absorbed in that divine consciousness. I had never experienced anything that was so powerful. I just sat there as all the cars rolled slowly by, floating in what seemed to me to be a sea of peace. One thing that I knew for sure, that was that the divine presence comes through grace. I didn't consciously try to conjure it up through meditation or prayer. I realized that the going home traffic from Santa Anita was not the environment that one would normally associate with such a spiritual experience. A dear friend of mine had often said, "You know, God comes like a thief in the night." In other words, that energy is unanticipated and cannot be confined to the rule of logic. I had just encountered an example of that truth. Later, as I was driving down the freeway, I wondered why that experience came to me at that time and place. The thought came back to me that God truly is omnipresent and that the presence is not restricted by time and place. It cuts through the turmoil, restlessness, and chaos of this world. The other thought that occurred to me was that I was dramatically being shown the difference between outward consciousness and the presence of God within. It was as if God was asking me, "Okay, you have a choice. Which do you prefer?" There was no question which was preferable. It was definitely God. And I had a guru that once said, "He will beguile you with an infinite ingenuity. He is seductive beyond thought of competition." Now, this experience didn't immediately stop me from returning to the track. The pull of the world is not so easily quelled, but the memory of that day stayed with me and suddenly changed me until eventually the attraction of the racetrack dimmed and then disappeared. I never felt as though I was being deprived of something. It was more like I'd had the track experience and it was now time to move on. The best way I can describe my dwindling desire for the racetrack is to compare it to the fun I used to have making mud pies when I was a little boy. Once I experienced the thrill of a bicycle, I naturally gave up mud pies. It seems we always give up that which satisfies us less for that which satisfies us more. That's what happened to me. The track began to lose its glitter. The more I felt the fulfilling power of God's presence within, the more I willingly left the mud pies of the racetrack behind. Not long after that first experience, Lou Brown and I would make the trip to Del Mar Racetrack, and on the way back, we would stop to Encinitas and visit the Self-Realization Fellowship Chapel, an intimate sanctuary at the edge of the highway. We'd go in, sit quietly, pull the life force up to the third eye, and awaken the spiritual consciousness that dwells there. We called it cooling down. It was amazing, just totally amazing, being in that little chapel. It was like taking a spiritual bath that washes away all the worldly debris, the restlessness, the anxiety-filled vibration of the track environment was gone. I would sit there in that beautiful space, and the life force would go past the spiritual eye to the very top of my head, the Crown Center, which I lovingly nickname Mount Zion. It doesn't always happen, but it's a very special feeling when I can say Mount Zion is alive and well today. Again, this confirmed to me the difference between the contemporary fulfillment we get from worldly things and the lasting fulfillment that comes to us when we make contact with our eternal self, that holy part of us. And I know that if I can enjoy that consciousness through the grace of God, with all the dumb things I've done and all the so-called rules I've broken, then it has to be available to everyone. There is one way in which we're all alike, and each of us is made in the image of God. I would like to add that that little chapel that he talked about, he later became the minister on Sunday mornings, and he held that position for many, many, many years. You know, Ariel, when I woke up this morning, I thought, what am I going to present to our radio audience? It really became strong in my mind about Japan and the disaster that's happening there, and especially with the nuclear problems that are going on. And I started working on some charts looking at the atomic bomb and the correlation, and it got so heavy I thought, you know, I'll just wait for another time to present the material that I have concerning Japan, which I am going to work on. I am going to show how astrologically and how the timing of Japan with its atomic bombs that we dropped and how their nuclear fission now all have something in common, and I'll do that later. But then it occurred to me that I had never shared with the audience my time that I had spent in my other life with Dennis Weaver. And so I just wanted to share that with everyone today. So now, back to you, Ariel.
I just love that story. And having had the privilege and honor of opening up for him for many of his lectures, he was just bigger than life. You know, a simple man, but still very, very old soul. So, Lavender, are you still, you're with us?
Yes, I am. I also, I'd like to mention that after the memorial service, for some reason, I just, after it was over, I turned to Belva and I said, you know where I want to go? I want to go to the Los Alamitos racetrack. And so we got in the car and we drove to Alamitos, and of course I'm a big horse nut. And so we went there, and I just remembered that as after I read that portion out of the book, it was like, you know, it was like he was somehow another message was coming to me about horse racing and betting and the crowds and the greed and all of that. So yeah, that was a really fine moment to remember.
Well, if anyone on the phone lines has a question or comment, you need to press 1 so that we'll know you have something to say. Okay. We have a caller from the 707 area. 707, you're on the air.
Thank you very much, ladies. This is Joseph Portal calling in.
Hi, Joseph.
Hey. I was so touched. I remember I graduated from high school in 19... Gunsmoke. Dennis Weaver was such a wonderful character. I'm someone, you know, you can identify with. And I was thinking about him, and you're talking about his names and all the Weavers, and all of a sudden it flashed into my mind the symbol for enlightenment in Egyptian hieroglyphics is woven cloth.
Wow. I got chills on that one, Joseph.
Yeah. I mean, he was truly a weaver on so many levels. But when you described his experience of his third eye experience opening, that was profound. I shook for quite a while after you said that. I don't know why, but I'm being asked to share something with the group. Lavender, I sent you a copy of an invocation I had been given when I was in Hawaii, and I'd like to share it with the group. It'll only take a few minutes, if that's okay.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. O Prime Creator, infinite source of the whole of existence, and of Mother, Father, God, with whom we are one and in whom we live and move and have our beingness, assist, support, and sustain us in the co-creation of this universe and all that it contains as an instrument of cosmic unity, harmony, and peace. Where love is withheld, let there be compassion. Where there's injury, wholeness. Where there's doubt, trust. Where there's despair, acceptance. Where there's darkness, illumination. Where there is sadness, joy. O infinite source of all things, grant us the wisdom, the courage, and the willingness to discover for ourselves that it is in nurturing that we are nurtured, it is in understanding that we are understood, and it is in loving that we are loved. For it is in sharing that we receive, it's in forgiving both others and ourselves that we attain that which is forgiven us, and it is in surrendering ourselves under infinite source that we are led forth into the limitless immortality of no thingness. This very moment here now, I am the limitless immortality of no thingness, one with the infinite source of all that is. I am eternal. I am unconditional love. I am radiant power and the universal unfoldment, fully, consciously, willingly embodied in a physical form that knows and proclaims itself to be Sri Satya Shakti Shiva Ananda, the true and sacred bliss of the perfectly balanced male and female principles of each and every one of the 12 cosmic rays that encircle, embrace, and inform this universe and all that it contains, and of the 13th principle, the Christus, which penetrates, activates, aligns, quickens, enlightens, expands, and elevates the whole of existence through the portal of creation, illuminating all polarity and all illusion of separation from source. I seek no credit. I accept full responsibility. For the past, the present, and the future are one. And the beloved I am presence that I am resonates freely and clearly throughout the whole of existence, bringing all creation, including all dark matter and dark energy, into luminous culmination. For as above, so below as above, as within, so without as within. And in truth, which is the absolute, perfect, and total alignment with infinite source, the prime creator, it is so. I am that I am, and so are you, for we are one.
That's very beautiful, Joseph. Thank you for reading that. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. That wasn't read. That's engraved in my consciousness.
Wow.
It starts. Yeah.
That is great. And I imagine that you recite that on a regular basis, don't you?
Oh, at least two or three times a day.
I figured that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're most welcome. It seemed appropriate with all that's going on in the planet right now, and especially in Japan. My heart just goes out to everyone there. Every time I see something on television, another picture, and I realize what an extraordinary experience they're going through, and it's on behalf of all of us for some strange reason.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you very much. And I want to honor you all for what you're doing, the opportunity for people to participate and to hear and to feel and to know what this is all about, especially those of us who are starseeds and walk-ins. And Lavendar, thank you so much for my star chart you sent me. I mean, what a process that began. I've already finished The Expected One by Kathleen McGowan and Secret Places of the Lion. I'm on Kathleen McGowan's second book, The Book of Love, and I've got The Poet Prince, her third book, sitting here waiting for me. So I guess you pushed the button, and I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, they will push some buttons.
Oh, boy. So thank you, all of you, for what you do, and I love you all to the very depth of my being, and I will just let the program unfold. Thank you for the opportunity.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joseph. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, well, we have another this is a comment on last week's show. Is that okay with you, Lavendar?
Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Joshua, and he wants to ask about the Galactic Shaman. Joshua, you're on the air.
Hi, Lavendar. How you doing, Ariel?
Hello. Doing fine.
I just wanted to, comment about, the Galactic Shamans. Remember how you was talking about, Lavendar, how a lot of us were either homeless or in a mental institution and stuff like that?
Yes, there's a lot of starseed, a lot of old shamans that have gotten caught, being homeless and some just wandering around, still doing their work, but, that just happens.
Yeah, I believe I'm at that point again where it's critical because all my memory is back again, and now I think they want to try to commit me again, but I'm trying to, hold on because, I didn't know the mission was going to be this hard,
Well, a lot of us didn't know the mission was going to be this hard, so we just need to, collectively, send each other energies. And maybe we should send you the Emerald Ray right now. Would you like to do that, Ariel? Just have everybody...
You're reading my mind.
Yeah, what is your name and where are you located?
Joshua Hayden in Washington, D.C.
Okay, then let's just take a moment. Ariel, let's lead us through it, okay?
Okay. At this point, everyone who is listening to this show, whether it's live or even after the fact, over the course of this next coming week, we take a deep breath and project the emerald ray of healing and upliftment to Joshua. And we're just going to be quiet here for about 15 or 20 seconds. And everyone, just imagine this green laser beam of emerald green coming out from your third eye and focus it on Joshua in Washington. Okay? Take a deep breath. And project. Okay, thank you everyone for participating. And as I said, over the course of the week, you can repeat this and continue to send the emerald ray to Joshua to help him through his situation. And up, I saw you in my mind coming out of the forest, and the sunlight finally reaching your shoulders, and keep your face towards the sky.
Yeah, because I'm trying. Because the end of the month, they want to draw my blood and, check about the medication. And, I'm getting an upgrade for the 20th, March 20th. That's the new upgrade for my DNA. And the 29th, they want to check my blood. And I'm going to have to, it's like only way out is really when first contact and they reveal everything. That's like my only way out right now. This horrible situation they put me in, stabbing my mom and all that, and then you know, I mean, she can't understand because she basically the one who had me committed the first time when all my memories were coming back and I was having contact. And, you know, I barely got out of that. If it wasn't for my other family getting me out the mental institution, I don't know what would have happened. I mean, because they want to dope me up so bad with them shots. I mean, I was close to death. They saved me. And now they're saying, you know, the time is critical. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it'll be a vindicating time for all of us when disclosure finally happens.
Yeah.
But Joshua, I want to ask you to practice sending a very soft pink light
mm-hmm.
out from your heart to those people who don't understand you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's best to take a lesson from Native America in playing possum, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Yeah.
There's a time to speak your truth, mm-hmm. and there is a time to be quiet.
Yeah.
And I think with the situation you're in that you need to watch what you say to whom.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, send as much loving energy to those people who do not understand around you as you can. Just keep pouring it on.
Yeah.
And just try to hang in there and hold steady because you've got a community of people who understand you and you know, we understand your truth and we're on your side, so
hang in there
because
I'm doing good because, I mean, the starship sometimes, you know how sometimes they might disguise the stars in the sky, but it comes to me every night to, you know, keep on giving me energy and they let me know, just keep on holding on, time is soon, you know. Sometimes they come here,
in
my apartment, but they might be cloaked at night to, you know, give me more energy and stuff.
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes I might wake up with some bruises that wasn't there the night before, so I know they was here.
Right.
So
well,
it's just, you know.
Tell them if they're disrupting your world, you have the right to tell them mm-hmm. to just back off for a while.
Yeah.
You know, tell them to back off for a while, or, you know, if you need more help from them,
mm-hmm.
whatever. You are in charge here.
Yeah.
Where those visits are concerned. And if you tell them something three times in a row, they have to obey you. So just remember that, okay? And we do have some other callers here, Josh, so I'm going to go on ahead. But
okay.
You know that we're I'm on the forum with you, so we can talk about this on the forum, okay?
Okay, but thank you. I needed that, and I'm feeling much better too now.
Well,
just
good.
To give you an update, I mean,
good.
I'm out here, and I know there's a lot of others too because there's some that was in the mental institution with me, and they, you know, I feel bad because they're kind of long gone now.
Yeah.
All that medicine
they gave
them, and it hurt.
There's such a stigma about that, but we know what you're going through, so just hang in there.
Okay.
And I'll be talking to you later, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Okay, let me check in with Sierra. Hello, Sierra. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you, ladies?
We're good. We're good. How are things in the chat room?
Going well. Going very well. I apologize. I got messed up with the time change. I got on a little late. I apologize about that. But thanks to Purple Sage, she's been managing things in the chat room. She did say that there are some questions, but I have had a hard time getting a hold of her to see what those questions are, so unless they're retyped here pretty soon, I don't know what they may be.
Okay.
But I just want to let you all know that I'm with you. And
okay, well, we're glad for that. To the people in the chat room, if you did have a question or a comment, please repeat it so that I will check back with Sierra in a few minutes, and we'll see what we can do about giving you some answers or opinions. And I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Okay, Sierra?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We have Ashtiana. Hello, Ashtiana. You're on the air.
Hi, ladies. How are
you? Hello. Good.
Great program. Thank you so much for your service. Thanks for the big broadcast. All who have ears, let them hear. I think it's just terrific, and I'm so appreciative of the time and the energy that you put into getting us all up to speed, and that's part of why I'm calling today, because if there's something that you can speak to around having the courage of one's convictions, as I look at the changes, I'm looking with my spirit eyes and trying not to get all caught in my earth suit and my emotional body. And I know that I'm not the only one who sometimes resonates on the emotional field and feels the fear and the confusion. And I need to draw deep into my records and my galactic suit to be able to stand up and say, you know, there are certain things I'm here to deliver, and I want to do it with clarity. So I'm kind of reaching out and saying, I know I'm not the only one who's looking for that kind of clarity, but also if there's something you can speak to around, you know, what does it take at certain points to kind of jump off the cliff and say, here's your next phase, here's your next evolution, and, you know, if you jump off the cliff, maybe you have wings and you just don't know it.
You are speaking figuratively. I just want to make sure that's perfectly what you're speaking figuratively.
You know, I'm really happy being in a body. I'm not talking about being a lemming. I'm talking about listening with clarity, making changes, and taking risks, and moving past a very narrow perspective of this is the way it should be, and going into a much more expanded view of life. Do you follow what I'm talking about now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I did. I just was clarifying that you weren't literally talking about jumping off a cliff, that you were speaking figuratively. Yes.
This is suicide hotline, right?
Right. No, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
I understand what you're saying about, you know, having the courage to take a leap of faith then. Lavender, you have a comment?
Well, it's about leaping into knowing. You know, when you drop your belief systems and go into knowing, then that gives you an alignment, and the alignment has the courage to jump into knowing. And it has to do with setting your boundaries, knowing what you're going to allow into your emotional system and what you're not going to allow. You know, it's like watching, you know, television and seeing these horrible things in Japan. Watch it if you must, but don't set up a system where you're emotionally attached to everything you're seeing. It's almost like you put your hand out and go, stop, and then you're the observer instead of the participant of anything that's happening. And by being that, it will give you the stronger alignment to keep your courage to say, okay, this is happening in the world, and I'm mapping out the different things that are happening. And then you have to go inside and say, okay, where do I want to be? Who do I want to be with? What kind of things do I need to have? Do I need survival equipment? You just need to make a list of the things that are important to you, staying within your clarity, staying within your truth, and at the same time just moving forward all the time. Don't look behind you. Just keep moving forward. And as you move forward, more and more doors will open for the clarity and to, you know, just simply keep asking to have the debris of emotional rhetoric that's around. Just, you know, see it as razor blades just being cut in half to where they just won't touch you. You just have to visualize it, and you have to go into knowing. Knowing is a really, really strong place to be right now.
Thank you, Lavendar. I have a question about being in knowing. Is the meditation process of dropping into your discernment how one activates one's knowing? It's my natural state. I have rites of passage to hold that. But is there something that you can offer as a tool to line up with that as a daily practice?
Well, first of all, you have to, you know, you have to know who you are. You can't wonder why you're here, and you can't wonder, and you can't ask a lot of questions that are just going to take up your time with why. You have to stand really firm in your total presence. You know, true power comes from knowing your total journey. So the minute that you acknowledge who you are and realize that you're here not just for one reason, but for many, then you just kind of anchor those thoughts in, and then the knowing is automatic. Knowing, it's an automatic process. And whether you do it through meditation or through a painting or a song, it can come in so many different ways. It's, sometimes it just comes as an aha, oh, I get it. Or a chill will run through your body, or, you know, it comes in many different forms. But once it hits, it locks in and you go, ooh, I know this. I remember this. I know the totality of my being at this moment. Does that answer your question?
Perfectly, succinctly, and with the perfection of your soul, I honor and salute you, and I thank you again. Blessings and be well.
Thank you so much, Ash.
Thank you. We appreciate hearing from you. We're going to move on here. If anyone has any other question or comment, you need to press 1. I'm going to check back with Sierra before we move on here. Come on, click, click. There we go. Okay, Sierra, do we have any questions from the chat room?
We do. The first question is, how is star family determined?
I'm not sure I heard the question.
How is star family determined?
Correct.
Well, there's a lot of starseed experiments on the planet coming from extraterrestrial realms. And the way that I have found the star family is through astrological markings and a chart. That's one of my expertise. That's how I happen to find them. I think there's many different ways to discover in your friends and in your environment, in your workplace, people that are enlightened and come from a deep place of knowing. And sometimes you can look in their eyes and really see it. It's not so much what they say, it's what they do. It's how they treat their body, their mind, how they treat others. Star families come from different realms, and they have different ways of expressing a creation. It's all about a creation process.
Okay, was the question also meant to find out what star family one would be part of?
I'm not sure. It's one of the questions that Purple Sage had gotten from the chat room earlier.
Okay.
I'll wait and see if there is a response to what you said. But to follow that up, it's probably in the same line of the questioning is, isn't everyone a starseed?
Well, in some respects, since the planet was seeded, yes, that everyone has some kind of a extraterrestrial gene in there somewhere, but that would be the baseline, and then it's about the soul that comes together with that bloodline and and with astrological timing, genetic codes, all the things come together. So you can have. Well, let's put it this way: if human bodies were cars, and they all came from the stars, that doesn't necessarily mean that the driver is of galactic origin. So that you have to have the right driver in the car to, and that was that is tracked astrologically and through soul records. And as far as determining your star family, what star family you belong to, there are ways to tell, you know, looking for the marks of the Pleiades in your chart or other species connections to various historic times on the planet. But ultimately, the family that you choose to run with lifetime after lifetime, you're the one that determines that. If that was the other side of the question, you know,
yes.
you choose not only your Earth family, but your star family was your choice. Now, how you find out what your choice was, that's what we do astrologically in tracking. So that was kind of a roundabout way of answering that, but I think it was covering all the bases.
Yes.
Do we have another question?
We do. There was a comment, so where do the normal drivers come from? Just in the
where
same
the normal
line
drivers
of...
come from?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, and Lavender, you can jump in here anytime, but it's my belief that the normal drivers can come from many realms. They can be evolved through the soul chain, because obviously, I mean, everybody knows a dog or a cat that is nearly human. And I think that after enough lifetimes as a as one of the more domesticated animals, that they've earned the right to graduate, and then they start their whole schooling process over again in the human body. So, you know, the youngest souls would have come up through the Earth evolution of souls through the animals and then into the human kingdom. That's my belief. I don't know, Lavendar, do you have another slant on that?
Well, you've heard me talk about starseed walk-ins, lightworkers, and their definitions. And what I found about lightworkers are really here for the planet Earth. And when other starseed get ready to leave the planet, they'll stay here and take care of Earth. That's one of my knowingness is how it works, is that the lightworkers are here to help the starseed, but they'll stay here on the Earth.
Okay, well, the question was if, in my analogy, that, if your human body with and everyone has some kind of ET DNA, if the driver is of galactic origin, then you have a starseed, but if the driver is not of galactic origin, then you have an earthling.
Right.
So the question was, well, where do the earthlings come from? And that was my answer, is that they evolve. They evolve up through other life forms on this planet.
That's somewhat true, but not always.
Is it a there are always exceptions, I'm sure. But that could be like a whole year's worth of schooling on the transmigration of souls between worlds and dimensions. So. Yeah, well, there's earthlings and there's starseed, and I guess the starseed here on the planet are earthlings, but not all earthlings are starseed, according to the inhabitant of the body.
Okay.
So any additional questions?
Yes, one more question. It's sort of a long sort of interpretive thing, but. Is it time to connect the dots for people in the public eye who are open to sharing their info on being aware of other energies? So it's not a single person pushing the barrel, but many.
Well, absolutely. I think everyone has a role to play in evolving consciousness on the planet from every level. Everything is about up spiral. Everything is about, you know, going upward and not going backwards. So everyone has a part to play.
That's right. And if you remember when Bryce Zabel was on our show about his book, AD After Disclosure, one of his suggestions was to start talking about the presence of extraterrestrials to people, and even if they don't believe you, that was his interpretation that it would help if everyone started doing that. I do think you have to know your audience, though. As you know, as we see through Joshua's eyes, you have to know your audience.
Right.
And know who you're talking to before you say it. So, any further questions from the chat room?
Sure do. One more question. Are the children of starseeds usually starseeds also from the same, quote, system, or a guide who is incarnate at this time?
Well, they come in all different forms. Some stay within their bloodline. Some stay within their soul family. The soul chooses how they want to come, how they want to participate.
Okay. But we do see you know, when we do charts on whole families, I've seen amazing coincidences indicating that they do come from the same neck of the woods, so to speak. It's not a hard and fast rule, but it is a pattern that we do see quite a bit. So yes, I mean, if you're a starseed, if you are starseed parent, it's highly likely that you're going to have starseed children.
Okay, perfect. Okay, no other questions from the chat room this time. Thank you.
Okay, we'll check back with you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I think we should do our Belvelation at this
okay.
point.
All right.
Okay, because we don't have anybody else with a question right now. So this week's Belvelation, and Belva's going to just with Belva's material, and Lavendor's has read it and recorded it ahead of time for us. So here is our Belvelation for the week.
Our Doc Belva has sent us another Belvelation for today, and she says, "This is to all my friends at Starseed Radio Academy. Because of the radiation that is being spread in Japan, this reminded me to give a warning to all of our listeners. Radiation in a living body can be fatal. Because we're away from the actual event does not mean that this problem cannot be something we need to be concerned about. We come in contact with radiation with every X-ray, CAT scan, MRI, every test we submit our body to in the search for the cause of illness or discomfort. According to physicians that I respect, on it, radioactive tests in an entire year is the limit and may not cause harm to your body. Radiation can destroy the lining of the colon. The symptoms are diarrhea, vomiting, miserable pains, and gas. Also, it can destroy the bone marrow. The organ most affected by radiation is the thyroid. This can cause the entire body to be tired with no energy, and our body then craves sugar, which can encourage diabetes. All of this can be fatal. Japanese must not consume fish that swim in radioactive water, vegetables that are grown in radioactive soil, meat or milk from animals that eat radioactive grass. We do not have to be concerned about these problems right now, but in the future we need to be aware of food canned, dried, and sold from that part of our globe. I've often warned people that are interested in good health to be aware of teas from foreign countries. Many of these spices can be extremely dangerous, and very few are sanitary. We must be aware of the things that we ingest. Your thyroid is at the base of your neck by your collarbone, and the dentist has a cape to cover your body from the radiation of the X-ray. But does the dentist use the extra part of that resembles a collar to cover your thyroid? Always ask for that when you go to the dentist. Now, they may be giving the Japanese people iodine, which will help, but it will not repair the entire damage. Why not ask for your saliva and work with your health report? Checking the thyroid is most urgent. Many of our doctors suggest a chemical drug called Synthroid. It can be extremely dangerous. It can bring disorders of the heart, adrenal, and pituitary gland. It's very dangerous for people with diabetes, and it can cause seizures. The other answer is Amor thyroid. This is from the slaughterhouse from animals. Can be disease. Also very dangerous. I have a product for the thyroid that is produced from hand-raised animals with healthy diets and no added chemicals. And this provides a natural solution for helping your thyroid to stay healthy. For those of us that had too many tests, too many x-rays by the dentist, this is the safe answer. But of course, first must come the saliva test to be certain if the product is needed and your dosage needs to be correct. Back to the lining of the colon. Remember, this can also be disturbed by too many tests, adding large amounts of radiation to the body. I have a chlorophyll product that is an internal cleanser, like a disinfectant. It is a miracle for people with colon and intestinal problem. It also provides magnesium, helpful for people with heart problems. It is a source of prothrombin, an aid for people with blood clotting problems. It should be used by anyone prior to undergoing surgery. If these pearls are taken regularly, the colon lining stays elastic and plaque cannot stick to the colon walls. The disinfectant eliminates the odor and the packing up of fecal matter. So problems of the colon are eased within a short time. As people age, their organs need some care, and this helps with constipation, but not like a laxity. Everything just moves out easily and normally. I thought that now was the time to share this information. If you would like to have a saliva test, just go on starseedhotline.com and click on Doc Belva, and I'll be happy to give you my evaluation of where your health stands at this time. Okay, back to you, Arielle.
Well, thank you so much, Doc Belva, read by Lavendar. Let's see if she's here. Doc Belva is not with us yet, but she'll probably be calling in a little bit. So I think it's time for some music.
Why don't you tell us your story first?
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. But I've had a lot of people request to hear more of my music, and this song that I have for you this evening was the song I was singing the first time Lavendar heard me sing, which was back in 91, and it's a song that's closest to my heart, and I wrote a story that will set the song up, so I'd just like to read that first, and then I'll play the song. The song is called Mother Nature's Crying, and the story of that is on the website as well, and I put the lyrics on our show notes, and now I'm trying to find the story that I had sitting out here, and I can't, oh, there it is. Okay. This is called Remember the Java Plum. They only have a handful of real trees in Jupiter, Florida, trees with massive trunks supporting an enormous green gumdrop, providing deep shade and its own unique personality to its domain. It's why I chose that particular lot for my new home. A magnificent old tree, over 2 stories tall and 10 feet around its trunk, grew peacefully on the edge of my yard. I had no idea that one day soon the Java plum tree would give me the comfort and strength I would need to survive a new marriage that had become abusive. Coming home from my show, singing each night until 1 o'clock, I would stand by the tree, reluctant to go in the house. Feeling so alone, I felt myself embracing the tree like a giant teddy bear. I felt myself becoming calmer and comforted, and after a while, strong enough to enter the house. A bond was formed between my tree and me, and sometimes I actually spoke to my wooden friend. I began reading books about tree spirits and Native American beliefs, and I came to realize that each tree, like us, has a soul. Now, like nearly all neighborhoods in Florida, we had a homeowners association. One day, some neurotic neighbor started panicking that the tree's roots would damage common property therefore costing the association money. She demanded that the tree be destroyed, since part of the roots extended onto common property. I launched my campaign to save my friend by gathering research. I had the tree's species identified as a Java plum. I called the urban foresters in three counties, and I was told that the root system was not invasive, turning away from sewers and pavement and sidewalks. I also learned that the insurance companies have a formula for determining the property value of trees. Now, my tree, being well over 100 years old, 2 stories tall and 10 feet around the trunk, was valued between $22,000 and $24,000. Certainly, I thought, this would change their minds. Ignorance and fear do not listen to facts. I got City Hall involved in my fight and had a petition signed by nearly everyone in the neighborhood to keep the tree, except the neurotic neighbor and the evil attorney who appointed herself spokesperson for the association without our consent. 6 months of move and countermove ensued, and illegally disregarding the petition, this lawyer took it upon herself to hire the tree killers. She twisted and ignored the laws and ordered the murder of my tree. I had no options left when the chainsaw arrived. A last-minute call to City Hall was in vain. She had been able to obtain the permit, paid for in part by my own homeowner's dues. Infuriated by the impending death of my friend, I demanded 5 last minutes with my tree. As I flung my arms around her, apologizing and gasping between sobs, I realized that she was passing her life force through me for all of her family. While the chainsaw was taking her life, the tree gave life to this song. This noble tree passed her spirit and message through me, and now through me to you. The lyrics I posted on our show page if you'd like to follow along. Mother Nature's crying.
There's a big part of your world and mine in a very special way. It gives so much and asks nothing in return, and God gave them to Mother Nature. He said, take care of these. All they need is earth, some rain and light, and they'll become your tree. They'll fill your air with oxygen and shade you from the burning sun. They'll give you food and shelter for dying at the hands of man, too ignorant to see. If you bite the hands that feed you, those loving hands that need you, may thy eyes right believe me when you're through. Return tenfold to her, or we'll be laid to rest. Without her trees, we'll lose the air. How can you say you don't care? 'Cause your family tree will surely be among the ones. That's why Mother Nature's crying.
I still get chills every time I hear you sing that.
Gosh, I it affects me the same way, and it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like it happened yesterday. And if you go on to my page of the website on Starseed Hotline and click on Ariel's World, you can download that song, the MP3, just by right-clicking on it. And I know that for some reason the Blog Talk software does not translate music with very much fidelity. So the professional musician in me wants you to go hear it, on your own good system. So, and the lyrics I posted on the show page are also on the website, as well as the story. And it did something to me knowing that all the people that are hearing the song, not only tonight but over the course of the week, will also be getting the energy of my Java plum tree. Immortal. She's immortal now. So, Lavendar, you better talk for a while. I'm losing it.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about March 20th. I know that our friend Tammy up in Ohio, she's put an event on our forum, and she's invited some people to join her in her salute to the equinox. And it's also Athena's birthday, March 20th. But what's happening from the celestial realms is that we have some beings aboard some ships that are going to be coming down with galactic frequencies, and they're going to unlock some DNA packets inside of Starseed on the planet that hold the remembrance of Athena, the 96 goddesses, and also the feminine ray of all the women on the planet. So it's going to be a very, very big activation on March 20th. It's also the time of springtime. It's time when the up spiral takes a hold of the planet. So I'm looking for some really exciting things to be happening with several of our Starseed friends that have been communicating to me about where they're going to be and what they're going to be doing on March 20th. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. And Tammy, if you're listening, call in and talk to us about what you're doing up in Ohio. If you're listening, call in.
Yeah, I don't see her number right here. But yeah, March 20th is probably one of my favorite days of the year, because it's such an up spiral day and everything is coming to life. Of course, here in Georgia, the flowers popped out a good 4 weeks ago, so we've been getting a sneak preview, but it's just really going to pop big time after. And next week, our show will be 2 days afterwards, so I hope that we get some reports. Let us know, keep your eyes open, pay attention to everything, and let us know about your activations. So let me check with Sierra another time here in the chat room. Hang on a second. Okay, Sierra, you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness, Ariel. I'm still trying to clear my nose from crying from that whole story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, it honors me. And that was the song that I would sing before Dennis Weaver would start talking, and it would really set the vibration for what he had to say, as far as the audience was concerned. It just really opened up their hearts.
Oh, yeah. It really does.
Yeah, and I know that the fidelity was a little less than pleasing as far as I'm concerned, but you just go on the website and you can hear it. You can hear a clean copy of it.
Well, thanks for doing the work to do that.
Oh, well, it was my privilege to be a conduit for my Java plum tree.
Mm-hmm. No questions right now at this time in the chat room.
Okay. Well, we don't have any other questions on the switchboard either, so I think we can just wrap it up for this week.
Well, Ariel, is there a way for you to play the song Going Home? Can you click it and make it happen? Or do you have to download what do you still have it up from last week's show or
I took it down. I took it down because I had a couple of people tell me how much they enjoyed the song, but they couldn't understand any of the words because of the fidelity of playing music over this format. So now with Mother Nature's Crying, I actually went and did some sound envelopes on it to try to bring out more crispness to it, but I don't see where that worked. So that's why I'm just saying you can hear both Mother Nature's Crying and Going Home. If you just go to my page, it's starseedhotline.com/Ariel, A-R-I-E-L-L-E. And if you look down on the lower right-hand corner, you can listen or download the MP3 to both of those songs. And I've got a bunch more that are not up on the site. I want to put them together in a collective work. But those two are available, and I share them freely with everyone.
Great.
Ariel?
Yes.
We do have a last-minute question here. Are some trees DT-enhanced to support us?
I can't hear you.
Are some trees ET-enhanced to support us?
That's a good question.
Well, I can probably shed some light on that. You know, the trees have a devic system. There's a system among trees where they communicate with one another and the planet herself, along with rocks and water. And there's a whole navigational system that takes place, you know, with a tree system. And in some places, there will be a tree that's kind of called the grandfather tree of the area. And with its consciousness, it projects out to the younger trees that are coming up. It's a whole beautiful system. But as far as having ET influence, well, some of the trees that were brought from different planets to this planet, and they, you know, they were brought here as standing tall frequencies, like for instance the evergreen and the Christmas trees. That tree holds what I call the tri-E spiral, because it's a spiral that kind of forms a standing column away between earth and sky. So as far as having technology placed in trees, I'm sure that they've done it in different places around gym PowerPoints, perhaps where some of the stewards are holding some power places, because I know they do have computerized systems that are set up, which includes the vibrations from the trees. That answer the question?
Sure does. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to add. I'd like to add before we move on that when I was discovering about trees, and I was reading the Native American beliefs and teachings on trees, each tree, like animals, would have its own medicine, like the willow tree. With the quality of water and the flexibility, sitting under a willow tree would enhance psychic intuitive abilities, whereas the oak tree, as you might guess, imparts strength, and the evergreen tree imparts wisdom. And there's just, I mean, it's fascinating. And it just, when I was reading it, I said, I know this is true. I know this is right. I know this for a fact. And it just activated this huge, I don't know what to call it, alliance with the Devic Kingdom. And ever since then, I will not buy a paper product if it's not recycled. You know, and I mean, just really, really conscious on paper products and a lavender. Sometimes I might have taken it a little too far because she's had to tease me about it, but I would ask everyone, please, to recycle all of your paper products and all of your plastic, and, you know, that just that little bit of consciousness will help to elevate other people's consciousness as well in honoring our environment and our nature. So, that's that. Next question.
Okay. We have a listener that has had a reading from Lavendar and found out that she's starseed and wants to know how best to connect to other starseeds.
Well, through our forum, one way.
Yeah, literally. I mean, our forum, we've got almost 300 members now, and we have some very advanced starseeds, and we've got newly awakened starseeds, and there's a lot of different levels in between, and you can set up a communication system right there on the forum. If you want to do it telepathically, you need to make sure that your silica intake is adequate. All starseed must have constant replenishment of their silica because they use it up. And if you want to communicate, you know, I make the joke, but I'm dead serious. E.T., if you want to phone home, you better make sure you're taking your silica. Otherwise, they can't, the connection is like being in a bad cell phone, and it's like, what'd you say? Can you hear me now? Make sure you have enough silica. You can get it anywhere. So that that's the answer to that question.
Okay, great. I was just waiting to see if there's any other questions, and I'm not getting anything at this time, so thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Sierra, we so appreciate your dedication every week hosting the chat room, and Purple Sage, also, we so appreciate you and helping to run the switchboard and keeping everybody's questions available for us. We just really have a great team, and we honor the women, especially on Sunday, on March 20th. Lavendar, would you have a suggestion on an intent to focus on for Sunday?
Well, if those that are listening just take the time, maybe to go out in nature. Nature is a really great place to experience March 20th. And just get very quiet, and also feel the energies coming up through the ground, through your feet. And if you could be by a tree, you know, sit under a tree or have a connection with a tree, I think that that possibly can help. Or being around water. Water is always a great conductor for, you know, receptivity for receiving energies that come from the sky. Everyone has their own way of saluting the springtime, and whatever, you know, suits you is what it's going to be.
Right. So if it feels right to you, then it is right.
Yeah.
And I would like to offer. You mentioned the grandfather tree, and for those that maybe don't know, if you go out into the woods, you just look for a tree who's standing alone, and all the other trees give that tree their his or her space, and it'll be you know, larger than the others, but it won't have anything growing directly in its space. So that will be the grandfather tree.
You know, I'd like to mention the place where we took Dennis Weaver, the bed and breakfast at the Tate House. It's a pink marble mansion. I don't know if it's still a bed and breakfast, but on the property is this huge tree.
It's
kind of scary looking when you first see it, because it makes you think of the worst Halloween you'll ever see. But what I found out about that tree is that a lot of Cherokees were hung on that tree, And a lot of people have experienced the souls of these Indians that are still attached to that tree. And I know our friend Penny, one time she walked up to it and she jumped, and I said, "What?" She said, "Well, that tree just woofed at me." I'll never forget her saying it alarmed her, because she said, "I heard it, it woofed at me." And so that tree, which is north of Atlanta, a little, you turn off at Tate on the way to Jasper to the Tate House, and you'll see this amazing tree. I mean, talk about the grandfather of all trees. I think it's this one. Don't you think so, Ariel?
Well, there was a pair of them. And if you don't mind my telling the story of the first time we went there, there were two trees, matching actually in age. They're both about 350 years old. And one tree, all the branches grow up towards the sky, and the other tree, all the branches grow down towards the earth. And I remember, I mean, I saw that tree, and of course with my tree history, I was like, "Oh, I have to go hug it." And I ran up to this huge tree, the one with the branches going down, and it knocked at me. I thought, that thing made a noise. I'm not going crazy. And I looked over at you, and do you remember, Lavendar, you couldn't stand on your feet. Your toes curled up.
Oh, that's right.
And you were, I mean, it was a serious thing at the time, but, I mean, looking back in retrospect, I mean, you were trying, I mean, you couldn't stand on your feet because your toes were all curled up and they were hurting. You're going, ah, ah, ah. And it's like, I didn't know what to do, so I, like, whisked you over to the swimming pool and I made you put your feet in the water.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Because
yeah.
of all the, I mean, all of the souls that were unjustly hung. I mean, you know, old man Tate, I'm glad I'm not him, let's just put it that way. And of course, when you're being hung unjustly, you are cursing when you go. I mean, when they put that rope in, and consequently, all of that destructive energy was reflected in the tree, and all of his branches were growing down towards the ground. And the one right beside it, they were all growing up because no one was ever hung from that tree. And poor Penny, and we took Penny, and that tree just scared the bejesus right out of her. Because it really did, I mean, it really did growl at her. And I'm thinking, no, all trees are my friends. But no, this tree did not want any friends. It definitely had absorbed all of that anger and hate, and was like a living tribute to, not a tribute, but a living memorial to the atrocities that happened there. And he's still not a happy tree. So anyway, that's another tree story for sure. So, well, I think we should just wrap it up for this evening. And, oh, wait, we do have another person. Oh, no, we have two more people with it. Never fails as soon as I think the show is over. Okay, we have a caller from 210 area. Let me just open up your microphone. A caller from 210-210, we are on the air.
Hi, Ariel, how are you?
I'm fine.
I guess I got the tail end of the program. I guess I'm just going for dessert then. This is Felipe in San Antonio.
Oh, hello, Felipe.
Hi, Lavendar.
Hello, Felipe.
Yeah, I'm glad I caught you on time because I just met with Ligia and Lida last night because they just came back from Costa Rica last weekend. And we were just talking about what to do for Sunday. So we're going to get together, go somewhere outside the city to a park or somewhere in the nature. And kind of, but they were debating if it was supposed to be on Sunday or Monday. I guess it's supposed to be Sunday, right?
The 20th.
The 20th, right.
Right.
Yeah, I really have a hunch that this, well, you already told me that this is huge for us, but I'm really... having a lot of expectation for it, you know.
Well, you be sure and give us a report when you get back.
Listen,
I remember when I called you last week, and you, Ariel, told me about make sure I have plenty of silica. Yeah, two days after last week, my 10-pound bag of silica showed up, so I'm already filling up on silica real good, so either I blow up or I'll just go up from the surface of the earth.
Felipe, did the girls plant the crystals in Costa Rica?
Yes, they did, and they have a lot. They share a lot with me, experiences, and well, you know that Ligia's hometown, well, her home down there is sitting on a base of crystal. So she just, you know, has been, you know, always very, very, well, you know, that country is so beautiful. But, yeah, she told me that her property is sitting on a quarry of crystal. So they did plant those crystals, and they had, well, Lida has had, you know, they had some experiences, you know, that they share, but I'm sure, you know, I could go on for a while here. But, yeah, it's excellent report. So we're getting together again Sunday for this. And so I really thank you for opening up the doors for us to join the group here.
Well, thank you, Felipe, for calling in.
Thank you very much, and yeah, probably next week we'll call in and give you a feedback of if we're still here on Earth or we already left. If we don't call, man, well, we'll meet you up there then.
Okay. All right, Felipe, thank you for calling. Bye bye.
Thank you, Ariel. Appreciate it. Your music and your talent is beautiful. You know, you really touched me as well. Yeah, but you're right. I agree. You know, I'm not a musician, but yeah, of course, through that format, it's kind of an offense
to your
voice, you know. But yeah, I listened it already on your through the MP3.
Yeah, and you can download it as well. So thank you so much, Felipe. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Next
Have
week.
A nice evening, ladies.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, looks like we have one more caller with a question. This is Dennis. Dennis, you wanted to know about silica. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Well, first, may I say what a fantastic show you females are putting on. Very, very good. And
thank
I really
you.
Enjoy it. I've only been here twice, but it's just really good to hear your information.
Well, thank
Love
you.
It.
We're so glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
So,
my question is, I've never come across silica before. I do a little bit of channeling, and I just want to be the best I can, so to receive and to give. So could you tell me the benefit of silica for me or for anybody? And maybe you could advise me if I'm an early star child or seed. I was born in 1949. Does that make me, I know it makes me old, but was I on the first waivers?
No, well, we'd have to run your chart to look for star markings, and it doesn't take very long to find them. But we do have to go through the process. And as far as silica, if you want the whole story, I'll just tell you where to go find it. On our website, starseedhotline.com, click on the Vault of Knowledge, and then click on silica genetic quartz. And that tells you why starseed need to have silica in order to do their work. They have a higher requirement than non-starseed people. And yes, if you're channeling, this would just give you a power boost, definitely. And I find that silica, because I do a lot of, you know, computer stuff, that it gets used up, and if I don't have enough silica, I start to get depressed. So that's my signal. It's like, uh-oh, I must have forgotten to take it today. But you can get it any, you know, health store. There's a it's a horsetail extract, and some forms are more pure or better or whatever, but I just say any silica is better than no silica. So get what you can, and then, you know, I've found a brand that I really like, and it may not be the one that you really like, but make sure you get some and get it going. I just take one a day. I know lavender.
Okay,
takes a
I would. Poor lavender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was moved by the song, by the tree song. That was fantastic.
Oh,
I hugged a tree many, many years ago when I was first on my spiritual path. And I hugged this tree, not knowing what to get back. And it actually spoke to me. It told me to go back to the business that I was in at that time and to speak to people. And it actually told me the outcome before I went. I just hugged this tree and it just told me to go back and sort these people out. And I did. And what it told me absolutely came true. So I always say to people, go and hug a tree. Go and sit by a tree. Just rest your back on a tree. So it was great to hear your story. Fantastic, actually.
Yeah, you know, you just reminded me, because your unmistakable accent, I spent a great deal of time living in England.
What accent? I've got no accent. How dare
you
call
me an
accent?
I'm the one with the accent, that's right.
I'm only joking. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, I know. Anyway, I have a picture, and I'm going to go find it and put it on the website. It's a picture of me hugging a tree and with my arms extended fully on both, I mean, out to both sides. I don't even cover the front half of the tree. This tree had
wow.
to be easily, you know, 30 feet around, and it was in England. And when I saw that, I mean, I just ran like it was my long-lost mother or something. they have much larger trees in England, I think, than we have here, except for California's got some big ones. But
in my backyard, in my back garden here, it's not called a backyard, it's called a back garden. There's
right.
one massive tree. I believe it's a male tree, for somebody told me how you can look and see if it's a male or female. So I looked, I thought, well, it looks like a male tree. It's massive. It's about 54. But these branches cover the five houses. There's only five houses here, but we're in like a little bit of a forest, and this whole tree just covers the five houses, ceiling,
oh.
the roofs. So it's quite an energy field. And when it's autumn, when it's in your neck of the woods, you call it the fall, it is great because all the leaves drop and you can walk through the leaves and it's still got the energy. The,
uh-huh.
the dead leaves have still got the energy. And it's
uh-huh.
only because I listened to your song and I was thinking, I've never thought of a tree in that way. So I asked my people, the Council of 12, said, what are trees for on Earth? Yes, I know they purify the oxygen. And it took me a few seconds for them to come through, and they just said, they guard the land. And when you were talking about the grandfather tree and the trees that communicate it, like a computer system grid linking up, like electric grids linking up to the main power station, that just hit it on the nail. Yes, it does. The trees are here to actually protect the land for us and for other people, for our kinfolk. So thank you for getting me to open my brain.
Well, thank you. And when you were describing that tree, it came to me that there is a portal, there is a dimensional portal very near that tree. And I think if you go out and just kind of be, you know, clear your mind, I think you'll find it. There's a dimensional portal near that tree.
Yeah, you could be absolutely hitting
you know,
the nail on the head there.
I don't know. Lavendar, did you pick that up?
Yeah, I did. I think that there's an entrance and exit for a spiraling, standing column or wave with that tree.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is another jigsaw puzzle. When I first, can I just say this? I know you probably want to go, but you're not going. You've got 10 minutes left, girls. You can't go, can you? You can't leave us in wanting more, can you?
Well, then that you'll be back next week. Yeah, we really have less than 9 minutes left. So, I need to check in with the chat room one more time. But if you have one more thing you want to say to us, go ahead.
Yeah, when I was moving and I sat in meditation, and my higher self said, go to this place. So I thought, okay, I went to this place and I looked in the paper for somewhere to live, and as I picked the telephone up to ring, the guy that I was ringing the house for, he was 10 yards behind me walking down the same street. He opened my car door and said, are you trying to get hold of me? We came to the house. The house is where the tree is. And now I walked upstairs, and it's an open plan. It's an upside-down house. The attic has been moved into, and it's never been lived in. The energy in where I'm speaking from now, I use it as a sanctuary room, and I've turned it into my office, but giving meetings from and consultations. But the tree is directly outside the window.
Oh, wow.
So I am going to go tomorrow and clear my mind and have a look around the energy and see if I get any direction. But, yes, we're all led to certain places, aren't we? So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for clearing. I never thought about it. You've just put another jigsaw puzzle piece in. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome, Dennis. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, give England a hug for me. I miss it.
I haven't got big arms, but I know what you mean. Thank you very much.
Okay.
God bless you, ladies.
Bless you, too.
God bless,
thank
ladies.
Thank you so much.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. God bless.
So, Lavendar, we will be back next week with some stories about March 20th.
Yes, we will. And we hope that everyone joins us and comes on and tells us of their experiences. It's always great for others to share so that... you know, we keep the open lines going for communication with our Starseed family.
That's right. And speaking of our Starseed family, I'm bringing Sierra and Purple Sage both on the air. Sierra and Purple Sage, do we have any other questions from the chat room?
We do have a couple more questions, if that's okay.
Okay. And just Purple Sage, I've got your microphone open too, because we're all gonna do this one together.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Sierra.
Does alcohol affect your consciousness or third eye awareness?
Yes. Lavendar, you want to give them your saying about that?
Well, you go ahead.
Here's the code. A frequency off is a frequency off. When you, there is a time when it's appropriate, and there's a time when it's not. You know, if you want to have a beverage, a cocktail to relax, there's a time when it's appropriate. But if you're going to be doing any kind of spiritual work or channeling or anything where you need to be suited up, definitely not, because it takes your frequency off just a notch. And as you know, if you're tuning a radio in, if you're on 98 instead of 97. Forget it. You're not going to hear what you need to hear. So it does affect your frequency, and sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes it's not.
Well, the thing about the alcohols that are made these days are made chemically, and a lot of them are not made with, you know, the pure essence of, like the wines in this country have chemicals
right.
in them that maybe the wines from Europe don't have. And I Doris Van Tassel, she was the one that told me back in 1977 how that things were being placed in alcoholic beverages that would simply erase people's memory of who they were.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so, it just depends on a person's ability to assimilate alcohol. Of course, a lot of people are allergic to it. A lot of people get the disease. That's why we have AA. It's not for everyone. There are some that can, you know, just drink and drink and drink, and it doesn't affect them. And others, it's poison to their system. What's one man's food is another man's poison.
Right. Well, especially if you're drinking stuff that's full of chemicals. And that's, I myself am not really a drinker because I didn't think about the chemicals. So, yeah, I mean, if you were having an organic glass of wine, I mean, there's times when that would be the, you know, perfectly okay, and then other times when it's not. But certainly, if you're drinking chemicals, that could really mess with the starseed, because starseeds are very sensitive to chemicals. So,
okay,
another question?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yes,
was that the last
one more
question? Okay.
If silica is quartz-based and quartz amplifies energy, wouldn't it also amplify negative energy?
I'm not sure I'm not sure what the I didn't hear the question.
You're saying if silica amplifies, if silica is quartz and quartz amplifies energy, then wouldn't taking silica amplify negative energy? I understand the question, but I think it doesn't apply like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the actual quartz crystals are six-sided, and I think silica is from a plant. It's a silica content, but it's not functional like an amplifier or a broadcaster. Does that sound right to you, Avendar?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, in practice, if I start feeling negative or depressed, I take silica, and it completely snaps me out of it. So, in practice, it doesn't seem to amplify that. If I was already feeling kind of blue, then if that were true, then I would, you know, it would make it worse, but it doesn't. It snaps me out of it. So I don't think it applies. Silica is not the same as ingesting a quartz crystal, which we wouldn't really advise anyway. So, well, we have all the ladies, all of our Starseed Radio Academy ladies, Lavendar, Purple Sage, and Sierra, and myself. We want to wish you a very wonderful, up-spiral, uplifting, and highly charged equinox on Sunday. And I think that's it for the show, ladies.
Okay. Thank you,
Thank
everybody.
You.
Love and light.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.